Good morning, church. It's always great to be here on Sunday. And another sunny morning. Can you believe that? It's been wonderful. I recently read that hugs make you healthier. How many believe that? All right. Studies by psychologists say that hugs can overcome depression. They are environmentally friendly. They cost nothing. They have no adverse side effects, but they can be contagious and addictive. And with that, let's take the time to greet everybody in the name of the Lord. You can give them hugs, but you know, sometimes you got to give them side hugs, or sometimes you got to give them handshakes. But let's take this time to say hi to one another.
Can't forget not one soul.
There you go. All right. Does everybody feel better now?
Yeah.
I know I do. I think one of these days we'll do a hug service. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I know that we'll come out happier about it. But I need to ask you a question. And the question is, have you ever put a spot on your clothes? Have you? Raise your hands. Okay. I'm good. I'm glad that I can relate. I mean, a big spot, you know? Wouldn't you know when you have a spot and you're talking to somebody, where's their focus?
On the spot.
On the spot. That big spot that seems to speak, you know, and it's talking, saying, what is that? Is that ketchup? Is that mustard? Meanwhile, you're trying to have a dialogue with them, but their focus is right on that spot. Mr. Spot, you know, what is it? Where did he get it from? How did he put it there? What made him so stupid to spill something on himself? And what can be used to take that away? But you know what? The same goes for our Christian walk. When we enter into unsavory speech or bad actions, or crude jesting, or crude talk, it's like a stain that's on us. And people's focus may be on that versus on our Christianity or what we say to somebody. You might want to bring them to a closer walk with Christ, and all they see is what? The spot. The spot in our lives. And they focus on our actions sometimes as we try to give people the gospel. They focus on our actions, that big ugly spot, and say, you know, that spot doesn't match up with what he or she is saying. Is that right? You've met other people like that? None of us would do that, right? But we have met people like that. We all have a sense of urgency about saving the lost and opportunities, but because of that stupid spot, you lose a chance maybe to lead somebody to Christ. I say that because I did that once. I had an opportunity years ago to lead my boss to Christ. He had this urging, this wanting, this desire to go into a relationship. And I knew he was unsaved. And he called me in his office. And he was struggling with a lot of things. I tried to witness to him. And guess what? That spot of my life came up. Because he said, I understand what you're saying. But you know, what you do and how you act doesn't match up with the Christianity you're talking to. You're talking about. How do you think that made me feel? Very small. To lose an opportunity that I've prayed about to lead somebody to Christ, and it was that big spot of my actions not matching up with my words. The dictionary defines hypocrite as a person who puts on a false appearance of virtue or religion. Another definition is a person who acts in contradiction to his or her stated beliefs or feelings. pretty well matches up with all of us, doesn't it? How many of us here are hypocrites sometimes with a Christian walk? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But you know the good news? People say only hypocrites go to church. But we go to church so we can unhypocrite ourselves. Right, Jenny? Remember that word? Unhypocrite? I made up some sermons ago. So we're all work in progress, and we all have those spots in our lives that need to be removed to give us an opportunity to talk to people about Christ and share the gospel with them. Today we will be studying Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 through 17, which gives us instructions on how to walk our talk. For those of you that don't know what walking or talk means, is that not only do we talk about Christ, but we also walk Christ. And everything that we show to people is Christ-like. So I call this sermon walking or talk, or unhypocriting ourselves. Unhypocriting ourselves. How many people want to unhypocrite themselves? Amen. Well, let's do it. Let's roll up our sleeves. And let's do it by going to our Bibles, turning to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 17. 5, 1 through 17. But before we do that, why don't you turn to somebody next to you and say, it's time to study God's word to walk or talk. Why don't you do that? It's time to study God's word to walk or talk. Don't be afraid. Okay. Reading from Ephesians chapter 5, 1 through 17. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an adulterer, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you. We come to you as mortal beings trying to walk this walk with you. We know we are imperfect, and we know that on the cross you've made us perfect, but sometimes it's hard to wear that white shirt because there are things that come at us that stain it and make us feel not very proud, and certainly sometimes makes us want to run away from you. Dear Lord, I pray that your anointing will fall on all of us, that any atmospheric opposition will be thrown out of these doors, and that we will smell the sweet fragrance of your presence. Lord, I ask that you use me in a mighty way to dissect your word and bring it out in a very, very, very understandable way, so that when we leave here today, we will know how to walk or talk and how to be less of hypocrites than when we first walked in. So with that, Lord, use me and bring your word forth in such a powerful, meaningful way. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. How then shall we walk? Isn't that a great question? How then should we walk? And from Ephesians, we're going to discuss five ways to walk a Christian life. And we're going to start with number one, and that is to walk in love. Ephesians 5:1-2 says that one of the best ways to avoid spots, although it doesn't say that, but one of the best ways to avoid spots is to be imitators of God and to walk in love. In the Greek, the other word for imitator is mimic. And what does a mimic do? A mimic looks at something and does what? The same thing, right? And it says that we should mimic God as dearly loved children. As dearly loved children. Have your children ever mimicked you? Right? Don't you get proud when you buy them plastic tools and they're pounding away because you're pounding away? Isn't a man proud when he's in front of TV with, with a remote control and his son's right beside him with a plastic one going like that? Huh? It's innocent. It's wanting to learn. It's copying. It's wanting to be that way. So why do you think God wants us to be imitators of him? How safe are we if we imitate God? Are we safe? Yeah, we're safe. Do we get into trouble if we mimic God? Not much, except people will hate us because we're called goody two-shoes. But that's okay with us, isn't it? I want all of you to know that it's okay to be goody two-shoes. It's not an item of shame to walk mimicking God, is it? It's not an item of shame. There's probably a lot to be said with the phrase, what would Jesus do? When it first came out, I thought, oh no, not another one of those catchphrases. But when you really get into it, what it really is telling us is to be an imitator of Jesus, isn't it? To be an imitator of Jesus. And to live that life of love. Not sensual love, but that life of sacrificial love. Because it points there, you know, live the life of love. Just as Christ loved us. And what did Christ do for us? He died for us. Now that's a tough thing to imitate, isn't it? Would you give your life for somebody else? That's the kind of love that he wants from us. That sacrificial love. The love is putting us last and putting others first. And to God, that's a fragrant offering to him. It was a fragrant offering for Christ to die for the sins of many. Because God looked down and said, there's my son. He died for all those people. With no strings attached. Unconditional. It's what I wanted him to do. You've seen your kids do something that was really good. And what do you say? Isn't that sweet? Right? God wants us to be imitators of him. So he can say, look how their lives are changing. So he can look at it. It's a sweet fragrance. And he said, isn't that sweet? It's my father to a son or my father to a daughter. Isn't that sweet? So that's what we're talking about here. That sweet fragrance, that offering, that sacrifice to God. And it's that type of love that takes away the stain, and people look at, don't they? People look at that. What kind of love is that? I've never seen that before. I've never seen that Christian love before. What is that? Spurgeon once relayed a story of an atheist who said he could get over every argument. He could argue anything about being an atheist except the example of his godly mother. And there was no explanation for that. She lived her life out being an imitator of God. Number two, let's walk as saints or God's holy people. Do you believe we're saints?
Amen.
We are. You know, because the Bible tells me so. I don't tell me so. But we are saints. And it says here, but among you, there must not be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. It's not who we are. It's not who we were made to be. We take in that hint of immorality, of greed, of impurity, right? I hope this isn't going through my whole body. Or of greed. Okay? A stain is a stain is a stain. And verses 3 through 5 reminds us that we should not even have a hint of those things. That stain or testimony. Because once more, what are you looking at? People look at the outside. What does God look at? Inside. But if we're going to minister to people, guess what? Our outside has to match up with our inside. So what this is saying is building us up as saints. It's saying, don't have a hint of this in your life. Don't even bring it in. Don't even go there. Because you're better than that. Because I made you saints, and you're set apart. A saint means being set apart. And really being set apart for his service. That's what a saint is. We live in a culture that thrives on sexual innuendos, perversion, illicit talk. And almost every movie and every TV show is thrown at us, isn't it? Can you actually explain to me a sitcom series without being embarrassed? Can you do that? Can you talk about some of the sitcoms and say, you know, they did this, they did that, and then they had innuendos about this and that. You know, Seinfeld's a good example. Innuendos about everything, and sometimes they even blurt it out. Am I correct? It's thrown at us. And the scripture says, this isn't like you. It says, no immoral, impure, or greedy person. Placing things above God, that's being greedy. That's idolatry. Don't put that before God. And then basically it's saying, if you do that habitually, you need to talk, you need to come to a closer understanding of who God is. Will we all do this? Yes. Will we all fall into it? Yes. And the Bible isn't saying that if you do it occasionally, that you have no inheritance of the kingdom. It's saying if it's habitual, if you do it daily, if it's all the time, then you need to really talk to God about that and see whether you have that right relationship with him. And that's what these verses are saying. They're not saying for those occasional people that fall in these things. Because, grant you, we all occasionally fall into that type of mode. And so, walk as saints. Walk as those that are the holy ones. Number three, walk in the light. How many here have friends that try to pull you into their coarse behavior and discussion? Right? We all do, don't we? We all do. And I love the Bible. It says, stop letting others deceive you and falling for their empty words. And then they tell you, I don't see any stains. Everybody has that same stain. And you know, if you're in the dark, no one's going to see the stains. Is this making sense to you? So it says, don't let anybody deceive you and don't partner up with them. And we've got to be careful here because we're in this world, but we're not of this world. Doesn't mean that we throw away our friendships. What we do is we expose those deeds as saying, that's not me anymore. That's not me. So you don't partner up with those people that delight in their stains, that love their stains, that take their stains as a badge of courage, you know. Look what I did. Look at the conquests that I've had. Look at the things that I've thought about. Big me, look at the language I use because everyone's doing it. Those that don't realize the consequences of the stains themselves. The Bible says you're not like that anymore. Don't be deceived. You were once in darkness, and when you're in darkness, what do the stains look like?
Nothing.
But when you have a life with Christ and you walk in the light, now what happens to the stains? They're exposed. And isn't it great to have a Christian walk to now when you do something wrong, you know it? How many people know when they've done something wrong? Okay? Because you have a life with Christ and you're being exposed to light. There's a purpose in that. So that God can say, okay, get rid of that stain. Okay, let's phrase it a different way. Okay, don't let people deceive you. Don't walk in that life. That's what it's saying here. It says, live as children of life, for the fruit of life consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases God. That even makes me happy, doesn't it? Because it provides the fruits of good stuff. What are the consequences of goodness, righteousness, and truth? What are the consequences?
Everlasting life and joy.
And they're good. They're joy. They're happy. We can live with ourselves. Doesn't it make you feel good that you can live with yourself? And that God gives you an opportunity to say, spotlight, oh, got to get rid of that. And you say, whoo, I didn't know I had that. Yeah, right. Wow. That affects me and people around me. I'll try to get rid of that one. So walk in a light so we can find out what pleases God. Because believe you me, if you want to walk with Christ, he will put that spotlight on you. He will check your spirit and he will say, you're not like that anymore. And you say, no, I'm not. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm going to live that way. I'm going to live that way so that in my life I can have goodness, righteousness, and truth. Number four, walk in the path. Stay on the path. Verses 11 through 14 tells us, let's stay on the path and don't be taken off track by fellowshipping with fruitless deeds. Fruitless deeds. Don't fellowship with it. Those TV shows, when you turn it on, are you fellowshipping with those TV shows? Yes, you are. You're taking it in. When you're around people with coarse talk and coarse action, when you're taking that in, are you fellowshipping with it? Yes, you are. Again, we do not battle against flesh and blood. We battle against powers and principalities. Our turning away is not intended to hurt our fellow man. It's to set an example saying, that's not my life. I'm not going to fellowship with it. You're not going to fellowship with a deed. I mean, it's very important I tell you that. Because I don't want you to all go out there and say, well, Pastor Merle says I can't be your friend anymore because you do the coarse talk. Now, I want you to be their friend so you have an opportunity to witness to them and say, you know what? I'm not like that anymore. So can we change the subject? Can we talk about something else? There are some things that are so shameful we shouldn't even take into our minds. And it says here, for it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. We've got to be careful about that. There's some things we can't even utter. But let me ask you this. Do you think the light will expose it?
Amen.
It will. Some wise man told me that sin is just like cream in milk. You can shake it and keep it on the bottom, but sooner or later the cream's going to what? Come to the top. And our sins are the same way. There are no secrets. They will be exposed. They will be exposed. Last, and certainly not least, there's still a lot more ways to walk, but the last in this series is for us to walk with wisdom. You know, this verse 15 through 17 says, be very careful then how you live. What it means is walk, I think the word is circumspectively, that you walk in the light, making sure you're not going to stray to right or to the left. That you have a great understanding that in that straying, you're straying into trouble and you're straying into something that is less than all of you as saints. But listen to this. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. What's the difference between wisdom and smart? One time our son, when he was how old, 7 or 8? Like 4 or 5? Came up to Ginger and said, Mom, I know the difference between being smart and being wise. Of course, Ginger said, well, okay, let's hear this one. And he said that when he was being smart, he was thinking with his own head. But he was wise when he was thinking with God. Isn't that something? You can write that down. You can quote Noah McGee. Doesn't that make sense to all of us? That we can be smart thinking out of our own head, but the real wisdom is when we think with God. That's walking circumspectly. Do I do this? God, what do you think? Do I turn this way? God, what do you think? I'm in a situation. How do I handle it? God, please help me. Because I can try to reason it, but only God can show me the way that I should walk. How many here believe these days are evil? Children having children, children killing children, fathers and mothers molesting children, teachers molesting children. These are evil times. And how can we possibly be able as Christians to change those evil times and change a culture if we're not clean ourselves? That's why I like this. Making the most of every opportunity. Making the most of every opportunity to minister Christ. Making the most of every opportunity to not show stains, but show the whiteness of Christ's righteousness that he's given us. Is everybody with me? Is this tough for you like it's tough for me? No, it's worse for me as a pastor writing these things, because then I look back at all the stains I've had. It's difficult, isn't it? But it's correct in the scripture, and it's to protect us, provide for us, and to change the world. To change the world. Therefore, we can't be foolish anymore in our actions, because God has a plan for our lives, and his will is to glorify him and to love him forever and enjoy him forever and to seek and save the lost. That's what he has for us. And you can't do that when people are staring at your stains. But folks, I need to tell you the rest of the story. And don't get too upset here, but I need to tell you the rest of the story, and that is, our stains aren't permanent. Our stains are not permanent. We Because we have a Father who sent His Son to wash away these stains, to get rid of these stains, to toss them where they should be tossed, and that's in the garbage can. And He clothes us with that robe of righteousness. And Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins are as scarlet, they will be made what? White as snow. Isn't it great that we have a God of second and third chances? Isn't it great that He can unhypocrite us? Isn't it great that we can start all over again? Isn't it great that 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All this stuff goes in the garbage. And we start anew. And no longer do people look at our spots. Because why? But now the white shirt of righteousness that He gives us the ability to witness for Him and change lives for the kingdom. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You and we love You so much to understand that Your death on the cross was to forgive us of all those spots. That You made us unblemished just by that act. That You forgave us of all those stains. That You took all those stains upon Yourself. Taking the beating and that we deserve. Taking all that punishment for something we should have taken. Taken everything that man had to throw at You, to ridicule You, to belittle You. And Lord, You did that for us because You were the imitator of Your Father God. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to walk the walk and talk the talk. And we know we'll get messed up here. And I am so happy that we can confess our sins and start all over again because Your cleansing is like being under a shower and You make us new again. Help us to be used by You mightily for the kingdom. And help us, Lord, to be less of hypocrites each day. Hypocrites from the church that we hear so much about. Lord, I also want to pray for those that don't have a relationship with You. That have never accepted You as Lord and Savior. And knowing that now is the time. Knowing that those that have never accepted Christ can do that and accept His cleansing touch and accept His forgiveness. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I just ask that if there is anybody here that doesn't know Jesus, but wants to know Him and accept Him for the first time, just say this prayer. Lord, I repent of my sins. I repent of all those stains that pull me away, all those stains that I hide in darkness of my closet, Lord. I repent of those, and I want to be cleansed. I want to be washed anew, and I want a life with You. That's a prayer you say. Lord, I repent of my sin, and I accept You as Lord and Savior. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if any person here today has said that prayer for the first time, I ask that you put your hand up and right back down so I can pray for you. Put your hand up and right back down. Dear Lord, we thank You for this congregation. We thank You for this church. We just pray, Lord, that we can walk worthy of You and worthy of the cost on the cross to make us righteous again. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.